You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome, everybody, as you always are, here to the couch with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. And as always, I have an amazing guest today. What I would deem as probably one of the most controversial guests I've ever had. I've had a lot of interesting guests over the last almost 15 years, but Patricia Corey takes the cake, I'll tell you. Hey, Patricia, welcome to the show. So nice to have you here.
Thank you. That's an introduction. One of the most controversial guests you've ever had.
I love it. And I love it. But you kind of agree with me, perhaps, you know. I mean, yeah, you'll see.
And yeah, I'm pushing the envelope.
There you go.
A large part of my life.
There you go, girl. Oh, it's so nice to see you and meet you finally, virtually, live. It's great to have you here. Let me set this up. If many of you may not be familiar with Patricia Corey's work and who she is, she's an internationally acclaimed author, thought leader, who has also been sharing wisdom about the human condition and the enlightenment of civilization for almost three decades. Yeah, you are a system buster and a most controversial writer, a freedom fighter and a warrior for truth, justice, and the liberation of humanity. The former host of the popular BBS radio show, Beyond the Matrix. Have you all heard of that? Remember that? What a great show. Patricia has been a guest on hundreds of radio and TV programs, including CNN, Coast to Coast, and how can we forget George Nori? Her previous 13 published books and over 22 foreign language editions include The Cosmos of the Soul. Gotta read it, folks. Gotta read it. Atlantis Rising, No More Secrets, No More Lies, and The Emissary, just to name a few. For more information, of course, you can check her out at patriciacorey.com. We'll be sharing that with you throughout the show as well. So don't go anywhere because you're in for a real treat today. I want to just tell you that we're talking about her latest book, and it's called Hacking the God Code. We've heard this before. We've heard this said before, but alas, Patricia has written about it. There you are, folks. It's the conspiracy to steal the human soul. And it was just released September 30th. And by the way, it soared to number one on Amazon in several rankings. So check it out. So Patricia, we're going to get into who you are, what you're about, and what your book is about. I read it. I'm blown away. There's a lot of information that I knew about. I learned from various sources that I have talked to. You call yourself a metaphysician, not a physician. And what do you mean by that?
Well, I used it as a disclaimer in the book, in a tongue-in-cheek way, meaning, I was a disclaimer. I'm not, qualified to give medical advice right, because I'm a metaphysician, but it's a double entendre because there's the physician, which we understand is a medical doctor, but I'm sort of playing on the words, and then the physician right, would be the person who understands reality in the physical sense, the five senses, the physical realm. And the metaphysician is he or she who understands reality with a higher dimensional, beyond the five senses perspective of what's in between or beyond what we see.
Right.
And understands the reality.
That makes a lot of sense. But, there is a lot of information in your book that, I've had to read over and over again because it's from published studies and they are written in, sort of journal presentations about our DNA, published studies about the mRNA technology, biological manipulations, what the COVID-19 virus is about and all that. And I loved it because I'm learned. I always love to learn new information and read, studies, empirical studies, and the information from those. So thank you for that, because if you check this book out, you're going to be learning, folks. a lot?
Well, you know, it's got a, obviously I'm a spiritual writer, I'm a spiritual person, so I'm looking at the deeper meaning of everything in life. Yeah. But I, from the science point of view, the things that I'm alleging or asserting also have a basis in fact. And that's why I've tried to balance science and spirit. So there's my understanding of what's going on and then backing it up as much as possible mm-hmm. with the real facts of what's right. going on, what's being discovered, what's being created.
Right. Yes.
That's some heavy stuff out there. So sure I feel is. Like we need to discuss it. We need to understand it and take yeah. out of the field of conspiracy theory and understand it as conspiracy, conspiracy against the human race.
Mm-hmm. And in some way, in my belief, so science and spirit are one and the same, as you probably believe as well. But so why did you call this book Hacking the God Code? What's that about, briefly?
I believe that DNA is the, I call it the divine blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
And that all living beings have this architectural design, this perfection of design. We take it for granted. And yet we are comprised of billions and billions and billions of DNA snippets that are formed yes. into strands and strings of code. And that all living beings are coded beings, and even a leaf, a plant, everything is DNA that is biological. So for starters, mm-hmm. my thesis in the book is that the race to artificial intelligence and transhumanism appears to be about hacking out the divinity that is the natural process, the natural order of what we are, who we are as biological creatures of spirit, of light, of creation, and changing that so that we are synchronized and plugged into the great computer in the sky, the Borg, central computer,
aww.
That is not just a fantasy, a sci-fi fantasy. It is very much rapidly progressing out of control, in my opinion. And that we need to be aware of that, because I think they're coming for that divine, the divinity that we are. If there's a force that is counter or anti-divinity, anti-light, mm-hmm. anti-God, mm-hmm. which I believe there is, then if it is wanting to hook us up to a system of AI intelligence, artificial intelligence by nature of the term artificial, mm-hmm. then we need to be looking at what they're after, why mm-hmm. so many things are being put to alter the human DNA and mm-hmm. what replaced with. Mm-hmm. That's what the book is about.
Beautifully said. You know, Elon Musk said our biggest enemy is artificial intelligence. Now, I tend to agree with him, but
And yet he's one of the greatest.
Yes.
You know, there's something very dualistic about Elon.
There certainly is. Us,
he's got Neuralink planned for 2023, which will drill a hole. I don't know if you saw did you see the video that he did on Neuralink?
I did not, but I heard about it. So can you lay that out a little bit more for us?
I was drinking my morning coffee one day and I was watching this video.
Yeah.
It is an animated video, and he's talking about this new Neuralink, which is designed. The idea is to put a computer, drill a hole in the human brain, insert a computer, not a chip, whole computer.
Oh, okay.
A small mini computer that will then interface with the human neurons, basically command the brain through computer central. By hooking up directly to the neural networks of the human being. So I take Neon with a grain of salt, because he seems to be contrary.
Right,
on the one
right.
hand, he says it's going to destroy us. On the next hand, he's right in the front lines to make it happen.
Right. And that, you know, that's a very clever psychological you know, trick, so as to speak, to do. I mean,
indeed.
Yeah, exactly. So, so you talk
it's
about
sort of like good cop, bad cop, right?
Like what? I'm sorry.
It's sort of like good cop, bad cop.
For sure.
Gone wrong.
You know, absolutely. and you know, we're talking, you know, about these things, and it just really does sound like a lot of the writers have created in the Star Trek series with the Borg. And it's, but I mean, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, your book, Hacking the God Code, is a page turner. And I'm trying to get to, oh, okay, I want to know how we can, you know, fight against this. But first, let's talk more about you. Because I love reading about some of your experiences of, well, and we'll get back to the God Code and how, what's going on, what's really, in your opinion, going on. And, so you share with us in your book some of the early experiences you had. It was like back in 1996, and I think you were in England laying on your first crop circle, and it was across from Stonehenge, right? That was really close to Stonehenge.
Yeah. It's
in Wiltshire, England. You were in that farmer's field. And so can you share with us one of your first most enlightening experiences? Yeah.
Well, it probably was the most important leaps I've taken spiritually. And there have been a lot of moments in my journeys in life. But what happened is that I was in England to take a color therapy intensive course, a 2-week course at a college. And it was a dormitory style situation. And it's been a long time since I've been in a room with a bunch of bunk beds and a bunch of women. So it was hard for me to fall asleep. And finally, when I woke up at 4 a.m. and I had heard a voice say, I dreamt that I was flying over Stonehenge.
Okay.
I'd never been there before. Huh? And that I looked down and I saw this giant spiral next to it.
Yeah.
And the reason why I mentioned the dorm is because I didn't want to wake anybody up. So in the dark, I was drawing it so I wouldn't forget it because it was so powerful. And I heard a voice say, this is a lock-on point for interdimensional content.
It's supposed to be a portal. Yeah, it's Stonehenge, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Stonehenge is supposed to be, but the crop circle by far overwhelms Stonehenge itself.
Okay.
So this voice that I heard said, pay attention, it's going to be important for you. And then I woke up and I drew it out and I was bewildered because it was so powerful. It was precisely at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So a few that morning at the breakfast table with all the people, I mentioned it. And one of the professors said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting confused. We went that weekend to Glastonbury, which I'm sure you've heard about.
Uh-huh.
And there was a picture of what I had seen exactly on the wall in a bookstore. It was a poster. And I was, what is that? Because I didn't know about crops. It was very long ago, right?
Sure.
Pretty much at the beginning of the public becoming more aware of crops.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the bookstore clerk said, it's the latest crop circle out by Stonehenge. And I said, well, I thought crop circles were like burn marks in the Russia, UFO burn marks. What are you talking to me about? And she said, no. She said, no, these are formations that are coming down the crop. Obviously you were called here because I told her about the dream. And she said, you really need to go there mystically because everybody's kind of mystical in Glastonbury. It's a wonderful place. So, when we got back, I told the professor about it. And he said, Patricia, you're not here for the course. You're here to get in that circle. I'll take you there.
Oof.
And he did. And so when I got there, I have to say that in my life, until the vid started, I went to crop circles every year since that year.
Yes.
So I've been to hundreds of them.
So you've had many of the experiences ongoing as you visited.
But nothing ever rivaled what happened to me there because that particular crop circle was extraordinarily powerful.
Wow.
And it was the harbinger of a new dimension to the whole crop circle phenomenon. So there were monks, there were Tibetan lamas, you name it, they were there and called. It was like the Close Encounters of the Third Kind and the bluffs, the mountain of the thought. It was like we were drawn to it in dreams and revelations or whatever. And I was taken out of my body. When I got into the circle, I fell down to the ground. I started spinning. I thought I was going to get sick.
Right.
And but it was so weird. I could barely get in. I just had to get in, and I almost threw myself in.
Wow.
And started spinning and spinning. And as I started spinning, I started to lose my physicality. But this never happened to me before, where I was consciously aware of my body disappearing. It was like I was looking down at my feet and watching my body disappear. Oh, to have that experience again.
Oh,
and there
God.
Were no drugs involved.
Right.
And I started to hear myself as sound and music.
Yes.
It was a whirring sound. Up, and away. And in that time, I was taken on a galactic astral journey where I encountered what was presented to me as beings from the sixth dimension, extra dimensional consciousness, who have gone on to be my guides through my life. They probably were my guides before then, but they introduced me to the infinite universe at that time, and they presented themselves to me as the Sirius Council. So I've been channeling them ever
since. Beautiful.
It's been quite
a journey. Are these the other same beings known as Being Six that many of the folks are communicating with who are able to do so? Being Six. Is that who they are?
I'm not familiar with that. Okay. I'm not familiar with that, so I can't answer that. But certainly a lot of people are picking up interdimensional and extra-dimensional information now, which the council said would happen at this time of our existing awareness.
And you
it's
know,
it's a very different world than it was 30 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. That's for sure. And I, you know, it's I guess it's time, but there, you know, it's also time because more of us are, I guess, open to experiencing that. I mean, we cannot experience that until we are ready and open, I guess, to just flow with it and go to.
We have help because the planet, I understand that our sun is shifting into a higher dimension. So my understanding from the council is we're moving into the fourth dimension, the whole solar system.
Yes.
Then we have changing galactic cycles. We have the age of Aquarius. We have a lot going on. We're in the photon belt.
Right.
In space. And so there's a lot going on galactically that is supporting the immense shift in our species and in the animals as well. Everything's shifting. And I believe everything's shifting on all of the planets in our solar system, not just on the Earth.
Right. And as I understand, I agree with you as well. You know, there's always change and shifting and contrasting energies. And that's how supposedly the creator, the divine, universal consciousness, whoever, however you want to say it, you know, is experiencing itself is through the contrast of different energies, good and bad.
Right? And and moving faster and moving up.
Right.
Although, you know, in the vastness of the all that is, up and down are sort of linear ideas.
Yes,
anyway.
They are.
But
yes.
But I like to think of it as moving up from the point of view of moving closer to God.
Yes. And I'm with you, and I do want to get to your book again, but just quick question. How do you get information from these beings in the sixth dimension? Is it, are you telepathically just, are you downloading things that just come to you while you're in a meditative state? Are you communicating with their blue crystalline energy at some time? Or how do you receive information?
How does it happen? So when I first started, I would get a wake-up call every morning at 4 a.m.
It
started in deep sleep, and then I would hear something resembling cellophane, like a cigarette packet of cellophane going. The first couple of times I thought there was a mouse in the house because I'd have a deep sleep and I'd hear this. And I soon realized that they or we were synchronizing our vibe, our energy.
So that's
it was almost like a radio station too. And for a long time, because the first three books were back to back, The Cosmos of Soul, Atlantis Rising, and No More Secrets, No More Lies were back to back. I basically had 48 hours between the books, and you know, every morning at 4 a.m. It was a really, I was also trying to work and support a living while this was all happening.
Right.
So it was very challenging, but that's how it was at the beginning. Wow. But I would be awakened. I would go to the computer and I would sit and wait. And then I would just start to, I hate to call it automatic writing, but flowed through.
Yeah.
It just flowed through me into the keyboard. And then at some point it would just end. It would stop. It could, sometimes it stopped in the middle of a sentence. It was the weirdest thing.
Right
back up in the middle of the sentence.
Right.
My thought.
Right.
Wasn't involved. That I mean, my gift of language or knowledge has to be part of it, because I think each channel brings, whether it's art or music or language, to the equation. Yes. So my ability with language or whatever played a part of it, but it wasn't like I had to think like I did for Hacking the God Code, which is not channel. So it was a really easy thing to do, because I would just be a scribe, a go-between, and the information would come out of my hands. And then at the end of the book, when I read what I had, I could not believe, and still to this day, that I was involved in the process.
I love
I read Cosmos of Soul, which 23 years later, and I wasn't even aware of it. It's hard to explain, but it's a wonderful process. And then book after book after book,
right?
You just know you're in service, and for whatever reason, you've been given this great honor.
Yes,
service in this way.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. And you were in the receiving mode, apparently, and that was connecting whoever that was communicating to you was connecting with that higher power within you that we all have, of course. That you talk about, the God code, that we all, you know, we have a frequency. We all have different frequencies, don't we? Each individual has a different frequency.
I suppose there are certain bands that are similar, but we are individual.
Yeah.
As, you know, as much as DNA can be defined to be like 98% similar, whatever the rest of it is makes us who we are.
Yeah.
Beings.
Yeah.
It's one. That's so cool. Human. I'm so determined that people don't give themselves away to this transhumanism.
Oh, let's talk about that now. I mean, I really do want to jump into this. By the way, the 4 a.m. thing is, Dr. Joe Dispenza told me that's a magic time, because you're in that alpha theta brainwave. And, you know, that's the time he suggests everybody gets up to receive information and also to.
And the Syrians refer to it as the violet hour of Gaia. It's the time when the most number of souls enter and exit the physical realm. In fact, my mom died at 4 o'clock on the dot.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah. Interesting stuff. I want to talk about that soul too a little bit later too. So we'll get into the. So you say we're clearly right now in Armageddon, and what are some of the most important points you want readers and viewers and listeners right now to embrace about how we'll talk about the cabal too, are hacking the God code. What's how this is related to COVID-19.
Okay. So you've asked me about five different questions in there.
I'm sorry. I just do that. I'm so sorry, Patricia. That's my brain. Is on caffeine.
Well, I'm delighted that you have all these questions to ask. shall we talk about why I believe we're in Armageddon first?
Yeah, I'd love that.
You know, our experience as Western living people has been pretty fat cat for most of our lives. The people that are alive today, are mostly post World War II people, although of course there are still veterans that went through it.
Sure.
That post depression people. Not to say that there's not devastation in so many places of people right. suffering everywhere in the world, but we've been in the West pretty fat cat.
We have.
We haven't known it on our doorstep.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
So there's been this, you know, oh, the poor people over there kind of vibe, but it's always been so far away that we've become quite anesthetized to war.
Yes, I agree.
So what's happening now? And these wars, territorial wars, wars for profit, we know what you'd have to be an idiot.
Yeah, sure.
Not to know what's behind
right.
war.
Right.
Peace doesn't sell. Peace doesn't make money.
Right.
That's so what's happening now is the territorial war isn't our problem, even though the orchestration of the Ukraine and Russia is going on over there.
Right.
We are now in a war that is a global elite against the entire human race. And by the way, it's been ongoing. It's not like it just started, now starting to reach an apex point where humanity is saying, oh my God, they're coming for all of us. And it is darkness against light. It is good, evil. It is the dichotomy of the polar world manifesting as the war against humanity. And it's a spiritual war. It's not a territorial war.
Right.
So I really believe we are fighting for the future of our species, mm-hmm. not just for a territorial mm-hmm. gain or win,
right.
but the future of humanity, and whether or not good will prevail over evil or whether evil will overtake us. And to me, that's a spiritual war.
Right. This has been going on off and on for millions of years, I think. And this has come around again, you know, to now our so-called enlightenment folks who are trying to help us out, higher conscious beings, if you may, you know, who are saying we've got to fight this fight now. This is some serious stuff because we have the opportunity to know how powerful we really are and can be more enlightened. Which this is stuff that all the monks you met in the crop circle and all of the spiritual humans who you were connecting with, you know, they've all connected to this for a long time. But right.
But the difference is that, and the exciting thing is, because there's an upside to this conversation, is that the intensity of what's going on is waking people up. So the World Economic Forum talks about the Great Reset.
Yes.
Which is more control, total control. But what's really happening is the Great Awakening.
Yes.
Watching, yes. I mean, and my whole life, I've been waiting for this.
Yes.
The wake-up call. I mean, the first book is called The Cosmos of Soul, A Wake-Up Call for Humanity.
Yes, exactly.
And here we are. It's a wake-up time. So we have to go through some pain because it seems that we don't get moving unless we're struggling.
Yes.
Something is so
it's really true.
Heavily against us that we have to stand up to it, that like when we're up against a wall.
Yes.
And we are up against the wall now.
We are.
And so I find it very exciting that even though this is difficult and even though it's painful, it is the catalyst for humanity to wake up.
I agree.
And we are waking up and it's beautiful.
We are. And it doesn't seem I'd love to find the numbers, you know, of folks that are, you know, or percentages of folks who are supposedly waking up or being more aware of what is within them as the God consciousness.
Well,
by the way,
there will never be an honest statistic in the universe of the Earth, but you can tell. Of course, you're in California, which has some strengths. But
you put that so you put that so nicely. I just thank you so much.
But you know, it's obvious people are starting to question the government, their leadership, the rules and regulations, and how the imposition of doctrines. I'm really trying to be careful here.
I know you are, and I appreciate that. The,
you know, the imposition, right, and the distortion,
mm, right,
of certain values. All of these things are being thrown at us all at once.
It is a
huge learning curve.
Right.
And exactly. I think a lot of people are starting to understand what's going on.
I hear you. Just as a little joke, my associate producer just changed my mug for me. And he just handed me my world mug that's clear with a hot tea. Beautiful. And said, "Drink the world in," from Patricia, with a little note. I love that. Okay, here we go. So let's get going with this COVID-19 thing. Okay. Might as well get a little bit of information about the studies, some of the studies you've read, some of the information you've gathered about how this has shaped the consciousness or is shaping our world. The fear.
Well, in the language of Star Trek, am I free to speak, Kat?
Yes, you are. And may I disclose that I believe that all of the employees and people behind LA Talk Radio, of course, have their own beliefs and are saying that this is for entertainment purposes and informational only. But
yes,
let's talk away. Let's talk away.
We are faced in discussion of the dichotomy of the moment. We also have the dichotomy of the whole COVID experience, from the introduction of the so-called virus to the introduction of the so-called vaccine. There are a lot of questions that are starting to be asked.
Right.
Because at the time that this was happening, everybody went into extraordinary, not extreme, not bad, extraordinary fear.
Yes, it
exceptionally is. Powerful fear, which was inculcated in the minds of everyone globally all at once.
Yes.
It was too extreme to be believable, in my humble opinion. But it worked, because the media, the government, everybody was telling us that this was the ultimate deadly pandemic, and we were in such grave condition that we couldn't speak to each other, we couldn't go out, we couldn't, I mean, it was horrible. I don't need to go through the process. Then came the vaccine that was really never a vaccine.
Ooh.
Which what is why it? I said, can I speak freely? It was an experimental injection, mm-hmm, that, if it was a vaccine, why didn't it work? Mm. I mean, the concept of a vaccine is that you take a particle or
yes,
piece of the virus, right, you in, and with that you create, the body creates antibodies, yada yada. But that didn't happen, because first of all, it was supposed to be one, then it was two, then it was three, then it was four. We're up to what, five or six
boosters
now.
Is that because they found out that the first two that were being deemed to be necessary were not as effective in producing the results that they, who we'll talk about, wanted?
Well, they don't seem to be effective whatsoever, because if you see the statistics that are coming out of VAERS and other sources, and if you talk to any or listen to any hospital and healthcare people that are, mm-hmm, speaking the truth, mm-hmm, there are the number of people that are in the hospitals being treated for this COVID are something like 90% vaxxed.
Okay.
So that is a statistic that people don't want to hear about. They say, that's not real, that's not true. No, that is true.
Right.
That is,
right.
That is available to anyone who's willing to listen. So if 90%, let's be generous and say 80%,
yeah,
of the people that are hospitalized for COVID are vaxxed,
right,
something's wrong with the vax.
Right, right, exactly. Right? That makes sense.
I'm not vaxxed. I've never been sick today, and,
right,
you know, don't intend to be vaxxed.
Right.
So the question of what we're looking at now, and this is, you know, such a sore subject for people, it's very difficult to talk about it, because first of all, people have taken it, believe it, still believe what the government is telling them, Other people have taken it and don't still believe what the government is telling them because information has come out, like the Pfizer document and other documents that are challenging what's going on with that tax. And so there's deep emotional feeling about this subject. And I don't want to upset anyone, however. The thing that I'm concerned about with this jab is that they are inserting mRNA, synthetic mRNA, into the body in this needle, and that it has been proven or tested, as indicated in the book, at Lund University in Sweden. They were able to identify that this mRNA is altering the DNA in hepatic cells. When we were first told about it, we were told that it would be isolated at the insertion point. It wouldn't move. That's not true. And now we were also told that it would never alter the DNA, but it is. So that's where I get into high gear here. It's like, you're putting something into me that is experimental, that hasn't been tested, that appears to not be effective, even though you told us it would be. And now we're finding out that it's altering the DNA. So what exactly are you putting into us? And the answer is a substance, synthetic substance, that has the capacity to rewrite DNA information. I find that to be very alarming and very dangerous.
That is, you know, you said something like there, I believe I was reading, and I could be wrong, and so excuse me, 300 studies that you were talking about, the Switzerland information, you know, there were so many studies that, of course, really haven't been read, because we do have privy to it if we want to really get into it.
Yeah, we do. It's just that people don't want to because they believe that the government has their best interests at heart, and that so does the FDA, et cetera. But we need to question it. Your body is your temple. And just rolling up your sleeve and allowing anything that's not been proven, we don't know what's in the vials. There's too many questions that we would just say, yes, of course, shoot me up. Oh, one more. Give me another one.
Sure. And it was the fear. The fear drives us.
I really get into the book, in the book as well, to talk about how that fear is manipulated in order to take human beings to this new field, transhumanist alternative to biological humans. And I think that this mRNA is part of that. Excuse me, my dogs are.
I can hear them. So. What kind of dogs do you have?
Stop it. I have a German Shepherd and a Shih Tzu, and they've decided that this is the moment for them to have war under the dog. Sorry.
I love that. That's what I love about live.
If I try to lock them somewhere else, they'll just bark, so that won't work. So usually they're okay, but they're a little bit silly.
They like what you're talking about. So can you chat a little bit about some of the examples of change in our DNA that you have read about through, you know, journals and empirical evidence, some of the things that are changing within us? Yikes. Yeah.
There they are.
Okay.
So to come out and talk about it on a show or to talk about it in a book, I think is a little bit, that's where you called me the most controversial person, because it is controversial.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to be controversial if it can help people stop and think. I don't want to affect anybody's choices or make decisions for anyone. But I want to assist people to at least stop, undig their heels in a position and allow information to come in that could have value. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Right. All right. In case you just tuned in, guys, here you're on the couch with me, Michelle. We're talking to the author of this fabulous book, Hacking the God Code. Patricia Corey. If you would like to get more information about it, you can log on to her website, of course, patriciacorey.com. And it's a conspiracy to steal the human soul. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the side effects. Well, I've been hearing some people, just patients, talk to me, you know, generally about, I'm having problems with my memory. I'm getting illnesses, a little sicker. Well, the doctors are saying, well, we're not wearing masks anymore, so it's flu season. So everybody, no, but I'm not feeling right. I'm feeling out of sorts. I've had a rush of people to talk to me about some of the psychological changes that they've been going through as well. Not only physiological, bizarre feelings. And I'm just sharing this with you, you know, and of course, psychological issues as well, because I'm a psychologist, so they're going to talk about that stuff.
And a lot of them are contemplating suicide now, isn't that true?
Well, there is a wave of depression that I'm seeing coming over a lot of people. They haven't shared those ideations with me necessarily, but there is a wave of folks saying, you know, whoa, I can't express it, but I'm just very depressed. And I'm attributing that sometimes to, you know, the isolative effects of, you know, the COVID-19 or, you know, all of the derivatives of the virus.
Well, there are so many factors
to isolate.
Yeah, there's the isolation, there's the war in families, the pro and con. It's we're finding ourselves in ideological battles that don't need to exist, that are being imposed upon us by government and society.
Exactly.
And
life
is getting hard. Peace seems to be getting shredded. In its place is a survival sort of mentality that is not where we do our best work.
No. And, and of course, it's turned into a political battle, which is, you know, in this country particularly, it's just, it seems like a political battle, but it's just, no, it's, everybody's joined different factions as to, well, no, those who believe in this particular, you know, party are going to not get the vaccinations because nothing, it's just, let's just get information out. Mm-hmm.
And this is what I was talking about at the beginning, that it appears to be left, right, good, bad. But really, there's the, you know what the battle is?
Mm.
The rich overlords versus the human being. It's not the left. It's not the right. It's not Democrat. It's not Republican. Mm. It's the power with the money over the rest of us. That's the real divide. And as long as they keep us focused on the other, the race, gender, all of these other division factors, we might not notice that that's the real battle.
So Eisenhower's proclamation of beware of the military and industrial, you know, that whole thing, that's what he was talking about necessarily, right? But we know some of the agreements he made. Right? You and I know about some of the agreements you made.
You know, I mean, well, people have glorified Eisenhower's decision because rumor has it that he was met with gray aliens and made a trade to be able to experiment on humans in exchange for technology. If that is true, thank you very much, Mr. Eisenhower, but you made a big mistake because the technology was not good, and you had no right to make that agreement for the human race. However, if aliens came to you and said, this is what we want, you probably didn't have a choice to make anyway. Let's assume that if that's true and this fleet came to him and told him what they proposed, had he said no, what would they have done anyway?
Right.
Sorry, I've watched one too many Star Trek.
No!
And zapped him anyway. So his position was not one necessarily of power.
Yeah.
Because if you're talking about an alien race that is capable of moving into Earth space, you don't know what you're dealing with. So You know, it's a very interesting question, what really went down with Eisenhower. That we have technology that is hundreds, not some people have said 40, 50 years. No, it feels like hundreds of years ahead of where we should be technologically.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, that's, I did a virtual field trip with Stephen Greer and his Stargazers about a month ago, you know, with, you know, there was some really cool things happening up there with, you know, the remote viewing we were doing, and we had some really cool experiences. So I know, you know, that these things, you know, have happened and are happening. And
I ran into Stephen Greer at a crop circle years ago.
Did you?
Yeah, it was interesting.
He's so cool. He's lovely. But I mean, you know, his message is, you know, a little more positive. You know, he's hoping that if there is help from, you know, certain extraterrestrials, that we need to embrace their higher level of consciousness and be more loving and this and that. So there is that movement. But I mean, within some of the information that you have created about maybe the military and industrial complex folks, or what they refer to as the cabal, or, you know, whatever we call that, that we should be very cautious.
Well, my message about beings from the beyond is very positive too, because for 25 years I've been bringing forward the loving, extraordinary wisdom from that dimensional field. However, to only believe that it's only good, I think that's a little excited. I just think that as long as we're in three dimensions, we are in a field where both sides exist, a polar field, good and bad.
Always.
And so if there are well-intended ETs, I believe there are also not well-intended ETs, and that's part of what we're dealing with right now.
Yes.
So I don't agree with Stephen on the idea that there are only good ETs.
You and many others on that sense.
The idea that there's a bunch of evil ETs that are out to get us. I just think that this...
No.
I'm glad you brought this up. I think that this is a reality. Part of this mayhem that we're in is that we will be the generation that finally has encounter.
Right.
I do believe we're going to have encounter. Right. And I think that probably both will apply. I think I can see, let's say, are you a Star Trek lover?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I love Captain Kirk. That was my genre.
There you go. Live long and prosper. There you go.
Okay, we're there. And so I love to think of a civilization or a galactic representation like Star Trek, like the Enterprise, with beings that are not just these loving light beings that spread angels, dust, earth, but beings that say, this is how it works in the greater galaxy, the community of aligned civilizations, of higher civilizations. We have structure, we have collaboration, we have organization, and that it would very possibly look like, I'm here to assist the earth, but you're going to have to make some changes here.
Sort
of like tough love.
Tough love, that's right. Patricia.
So I don't like... Go ahead.
No, I was... No, I'm just coughing. I'm sorry.
Okay. Shall I continue?
Yes, we just do have a few minutes here, and I don't mean to... Gosh, you know, I could talk to you for another 2 hours. I know. I know. But...
So we'll save the alien conversation for another time.
Part two, next interview. Okay, let's do that. Okay. And also, in Patricia's book, Hacking the God Code, there's so much information about how we can be true to ourselves. You know, she was talking about our higher selves, getting in contact with that, and, you know, how we can trust our guts, so as to speak, and just really tune in to more information on how we can stay in the light and be more conscious, loving beings to each other. And not only that, but, you know, for the universe that we're in and beyond. Right, Patricia? And this is the beauty.
I think that I would love to drive home to people that comes from me and from the book is to be empowered, to be able to look at whatever appears to be darkness or contrary, to not be afraid to look at it, and to be empowered in the knowing that you're not afraid to look at it because it dissipates in the light of that strength.
It does. I totally agree. And I'm so sorry that we have to wrap up because, again, I could talk to you for hours. I mean, I have so much information.
I can't believe that.
I know.
The time passed.
I know. It's being in the now, right, Patricia? We're in the now. We're in the now. So thank you so much for being here. Again, I'll set up her website in the archives for everybody to check out. Hacking the God Code, the conspiracy to steal the human soul. We're going to stay strong, keep the light within us, and learn more from Patricia. And again, next time, let's do it again soon. Okay. So we can have part two of how to keep that. Blessings to you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you to you too.
Thank you so much for being here. All right, guys. Thanks for joining me on the couch, Dr. Michelle Cohen. And do take care of yourselves first. Go within, get in touch with your higher self, and then you'll be great for others. All right. Thanks for joining me.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.